halfway to 50. It's episode 25 of Flicks Watcher Podcast. I'm still Helen.
I like the way you said that, like you're on Top of the Pops. And I'm Kobe.
Niche references.
Yeah. Welcome to the show. Hope you enjoy it. On this episode of Flicks Watcher, we'll be talking about the film Eager, also known as Mackie. I was chosen by Helen from the Illusionist podcast and Answer Me This, also featuring Matthew Crosby from Pappy's Bangers and Mash and Pappy's Flatshare Slamdown. Eager scores 7.9 out of 10 on the IMDb rating, but guys, stay tuned, of course, for the only scores that matter. That is, of course, the Flicks Watcher rating, which you'll get at the end of the show. Enjoy and see you at the end.
Come find us on Twitter, tweet to us, agree with us, disagree. We're at FlicksWatcherPod. The website flickswatcher.tv has full listings of each episode, and subscribe and review us on iTunes. As always, films reviewed in this podcast were available to stream on Netflix UK at the time of recording. There may be bad language and there may be spoilers. You have been warned.
You've heard their voices on episodes such as Jet Li's The One and The Talented Mr. Ripley. That's Jay and Tony, but also they've got other people as Greg and as Toby as well. Tony and Toby, that's quite confusing, guys. But those guys are the unsung heroes of Flicks Watcher Podcast, and we really want to send people their way. If you want to be a podcaster and you like the way Flicks Watcher sounds, then you need to be in contact with these guys because they do all our editing and make what we do sound good. You know all the ums and ahs that you hear? Exactly, because they take them all out and they make it sound awesome. And they've had to deal with didgeridoos, they've had to deal with people hoovering, and they've taken all that out. So we really think these guys are top notch. If you want to start your podcast, not sure how to edit it, you need to get in contact with these guys. podcast@glpro.co.uk or on Twitter is @glprouk, and tell them that Kobe and Helen sent you and they'll give you 10% off your first order. So give them a shout.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Flicks Watcher, and today we are joined by Helen and Matt. If you'd like to say hello and let our listeners know where they can find you in the podcast world.
I'd love to say hello.
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 Hello. Hello. Hello. Hello.
You can find me in the podcast world. I am part of a sketch team called Pappy's. We do two different podcasts. Pappy's Flatshare Slamdown, which is a live panel show where I'm the host and landlord, and Tom and Ben from Pappy's are my tenants, and we play silly games. And I also do a podcast called Pappy's Bangers and Mash, which is we sort of have a little chat and then we listen back to the chat and write sketches based on what we've talked about. It's good fun.
Are there any bangers and mash in it?
Are there any actual bangers and mash?
Yeah. Are you eating bangers and mash?
Yeah.
Well, since we started doing the podcast, two of us have become veggie. So what does that say?
Put a carrot in the mash.
Yeah, a little carrot.
Carrot and mash, or Linda McCartney's a mash.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Linda true. McCartney are a very, very good vegetarian sausage.
Are you a veggie as well?
I'm not, but I was for a while.
Did you ever eat the cauldron sausages?
I did. I find them a bit weird.
Yeah, that's what I like about them. They're not sausages, and they're not cauldrons.
There's a genre of sausage as well, which is essentially mash with cheese and leeks in it. It's called something like the Caerphilly sausage or something like that. I can't remember.
Well, there's
Carnarvon sausage.
I've had a cheese and leek veggie sausage before. I didn't know it had a name though.
Occasionally, you get sort of like a veggie sausage. It's basically just a load of veg squished together.
Yeah.
Peas and carrots and stuff squished together.
It's a veggie burger put through a tube.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I'm Helen Zoltzman. Yeah.
That was you wanted me to tee you up for your little bit of chat about.
It's the only way I can get in the mood to entertain. I make the podcast The Allusionist, which is about language, and Answer Me This, which is a comedy podcast about things that our audience ask us. So that's a lot of different topics.
10 years down the line.
Ten.
The first lady of podcasting. You predate Sarah Koenig, don't you, from Serial?
Yeah, she was only born like couple of years ago.
Yeah,
it's just her voice broke early in her life. Yeah, to be fair to Sarah Koenig, she has been making that kind of show for 20 years, and the fact that it's now a podcast, I don't think she fully understands. She's not really an internet person, but yeah, I was there first, let the record show. I got the jump on Koenig.
Can I ask, how much does your blood boil when people mention Serial in interviews with you? Like, is that a frustrating thing
if they say I loved your show Serial? I just say thank you. That poor young man, what a frustration.
Yeah.
Or that poor young woman's family. That's the go anywhere. Depending on whether they think he did it or not, the interviewer. And then I try and spoil, I give them some fake spoilers.
Yeah. Fake spoiler, he did it.
Yeah, my intention wasn't to make your blood boil there.
No,
that wasn't me. And again, it wasn't my intention to make it seem like you were doing that, Toby. You're listening to the Politeness podcast where we apologise to each other.
This is the thing, you can't even really portray Kobe as doing a sly blood boiler because it just doesn't seem to be in your nature to to elicit that kind of response.
Too nice a dude.
Too nice.
Oh, thank you.
Well done.
Well, talking about nice guys fighting bad guys, I don't know. But that's a horrible segue.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, either you're the bad guy or Helen's the bad guy, because...
Well, let's see which Helen throws Matthew through a plate glass window.
I think if I mention Adam Sandler to this Helen, then I will be thrown through a plate glass window. But
we've got an embargo.
We've got...
So we're talking about... Well, initially it was Eager, but yeah. On Netflix has changed to Marquee.
Yes.
And this is your choice.
Yes. This film has many names. It is also known as Nan E. They all the names mean the fly or the house fly. I originally saw it on August the 8th, 2016, when it was on Netflix as Eager, which is, it was a bilingual film filmed in Tamil and Telugu, an Indian language. And also there are some lines that are in English. I don't know why. But the version that is now on Netflix is called Maki because that is the Hindi dub.
Yeah.
And I think that has changed the experience quite a lot because it's so obvious that the sound design is really bad now because you're just like, that noise is not coming out of that person because the spatiality of it is totally wrong. But let that not ruin the experience of this film for you, which I will call Eager because that is how I first encountered it. What happened on the 8th of August 2016 was I moved out of the flat where I'd been living for 10 years, 2.5 of which Matthew was there too.
Hello.
I did not want to move. And moving is shit. So it was a bad day. And we were moving into my brother's attic temporarily, although 6 months later we're still there. And we set up our beds and we set up our TV. And at that point, we were just too tired to move. It had been so draining, like clearing out our flat for weeks and reeling from Brexit as well was debilitating. And for some reason, Netflix recommended Eager. And I've no idea why, because we hadn't been watching Indian films and we'd also not been watching films in the genre that this is, which is romantic comedy revenge dramas.
Are there many of those films that...
It's the first I've seen.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off sort of is one with the headmaster.
Yes, but it's not. That's a B plot, isn't it? It's not the A plot.
Oh, yeah.
There's no B plot in this, is there?
There's a fly.
Yeah.
It does have similarities to B movie though.
I've still not seen that. Actually.
Let's talk about the film first.
All right.
So we can.
This is the plot of the film. The hero is murdered by a love rival and is then reincarnated as a fly and seeks his revenge. And I don't think that's too spoilerific because that all happens in the first act.
Yep.
It is a very eventful film. And also...
I think eventful is selling it short, Helen. There
is so much going on because there are also... Sometimes there are songs... There's a workout sequence where the fly is bulking up for this task. It is phenomenal. There are a lot of action sequences, and it does flip from just like ridiculous comedy to something really horrible and serious. And you can tell that because most of it is shot like an ad for Gala Bingo or something, where it's like very candy color,
hypersaturated, yeah.
Yeah, super colorful. And then very occasionally the film will all be like bluey gray, which is when someone is murdered or someone is grieving. And it was. So I was flat out knackered on moving day and we watched this thing and I just loved it so hard because it's fucking crazy. Like you just can't... It was a bit of a disappointment to me watching it again for this purpose to realise that it is, at the very beginning, it is posited as a parent telling their child a story about a fly.
Yeah,
which never comes back again. Again, because we were having a chat before we started recording about Princess Bride, and that's what the sort of premise of that is. But it keeps coming back to the boy in bed reading a story.
Because William Goldman didn't want to have to write every plot beat in The Princess Bride, so him having Peter Falk shut the book going, oh, you don't want me to carry on, was his way of just getting past some sequences he didn't
leaping
write.
Ahead. But this is literally at the start of it, you hear an old man's voice and a boy. And
well, girl, I couldn't tell.
It's
a child.
A youngling. I mean, you know, Jed is a construct anyway.
Tell me a story.
But it's a...
You're annoying as a fly. Ooh, that gives me an idea. You're like, why would you tell this story to a child?
Yeah, there's a lot of...
It's actually kind of, yeah.
A lot of horrendous killing and...
It's not the classic bedtime story.
No. If the child can sleep after that 2-hour long story, then... also, as well, I realised that the version we saw on Netflix, I know you said it's been edited, it's been redubbed. I went on Wikipedia and the running time of the actual film is like 2 hours 40. So they've clearly lopped out 40 minutes somewhere in the version we saw, because the one I saw was 1:59.
Are there any notable sequences missing.
Were there any bits that
core of it was still there?
Yeah.
In that the first act is, but there are really only three characters you need to concern yourself with. There is the hero, Jani.
Or Nani, depending on which translation.
That's weird, because in the subtitles of the Hindi dub, he was still Jani, but it's Nani, I think, ostensibly in the Hindi version.
And the name of the actor is Nani.
Right.
So Sudeep plays Sudeep.
We'll get to Sudeep
in a second, but it's quite weird that they are playing their own names.
Yeah.
Because any one of them is a cold-blooded billionaire killer. But he's playing himself.
But anyway, Jani, he has been in love with a very pretty lady from across the street for 2 years. The night he's finally getting somewhere with her, he gets murdered by a man called Sudeep. And Sudeep is played by the film star Sudeep, who's been in 70 films in 20 years. He is prolific.
He's really good as well.
He does some incredible acting opposite nothing, because he is tormented by the fly for most of the film. So he basically spends it flailing around, doing like body swerves and stuff like that. He's very good at it.
It put me in mind of Bruce Campbell's performance in Evil Dead 2, when he's basically wrestling his own hand. You know, it's a lot of physical stuff where there's a guy who, yeah, you're right, there's no fly.
Yes.
So he's just lots of, and obviously once you've sort of wiped your, you know, battered away a fly from your nose, that's pretty much the one thing that we've all got, or battered away from here. But he manages to do different stuff each time.
Yeah.
Like every time he finds new and inventive ways to bat away an imaginary fly. And I'd say probably if you did a supercut of all of him batting away flies, half an hour, 25 minutes,
That's what they cut
good
it.
Part
that's what they cut out was another half hour of it batting away.
More very impressive physical acting. But anyway, both these men are in love with a lady called Bindu, who firstly works for an NGO, and that's how she meets Sudeep, because he donates 1.5 million rupees so that she'll be into him. But she also makes tiny sculptures out of things like grains of rice or pencil stubs. And this is significant, because when your love is reincarnated as a fly, you have to communicate with them on a microscopic level. She makes them like a little house with like couches and stuff.
They play hide and seek at one stage, which is adorable.
Yeah. They don't show any sex scenes, which I think is for the best. Actually, I read an interesting piece by a woman. She said generally films in Tagalu portray really unhealthy scenarios for women. Like there's a lot of violence, say, that not many women who are like in control or in a good situation. And so she appreciated the fact that in this film it's different. Like obviously this woman is grieving her murdered boyfriend, and then she's in love with a fly.
It's not necessarily the healthiest.
It's not healthy, but you don't feel like she's just a female patsy. Like she does have a character, she does have agency.
Yeah.
And she's an important agent in the revenge plot.
Yeah.
Once she finds out that the fly isn't just a fly, it's her ex-boyfriend, which, you know, is difficult to communicate, isn't it, when you're a fly?
You've got to tell him how she finds out.
Please, Matthew, please.
She's crying and her tears are going on the desk and in front of her in the charity where she works. And so the fly sort of scuttles along and uses the tears to write, "I am Jani Reborn." And I mean, but she goes with it. I mean, if he's able to do that, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. And I like how they set it up. So the villain is the first person you meet in this film, Sudeep. And you know that he's a villain straight away because he's clay pigeon shooting, which he does every day.
Yeah.
And he has a big gun collection. He's always going after women that are involved with other people. And he wears sunglasses in the dark and he shoves people out the way. So classic villain. And he has a load of men that just stand around to be like abused by him and, I don't know, like
carry out his deeds.
Carry out his deeds.
Yeah, henchmen, basically.
At one point,
yeah.
Collect flies.
Yeah, or modify his house so that no flies can get in.
Yeah.
But it's so effective, the way that a humble fly can torment a very rich man.
Well, you almost get the feeling that, like, if the fly wasn't in the movie, you could... It's basically a man's portrayal of a man's descent into madness, isn't it? He's basically going insane, like he can't sleep. So if there was no... Like, all of his friends, all of his henchmen, don't think there is a fly. They don't know that there really is a reincarnated, the man he killed with his bare feet. That's an amazing scene as well. He kills him with his feet, takes his shoes off and says, "I want to kill you with my feet so I can really feel the life coming out of your body." And then you see the life coming out of his body as like a blue thing and it goes into a fly.
Yeah, there's some special effects in this film.
Should we talk about a CGI? In fact, before we go into CGI...
I know that this upsets you.
I want to see what Helen Sadler... She's been noticeably quiet. And I can sense there's a...
I feel like I've watched a completely different film, but I'm pretty sure it was the same one.
Did you actually watch a different
film? Was there no fly in the movie you saw? Because in which case, you watched the wrong film.
No, I did watch it. And it kind of is a film, I can't quite think of what the film is that it reminds me of, but there's a lot of things in that I've seen it before.
Is it a fever dream that it reminds you of? Time you had the flu and you thought a fly was talking to you through the medium of tears.
No, but I kind of wish that I'd had that experience rather than watching this. I mean, it's... It sets itself up to be quite zany and, you know, kind of weird. It's not the weirdest film I've seen. And
no, because you, in fact, Kobe emailed and said, oh, you found the film really weird. And I this is before I'd seen it.
Yeah.
And I watched it expecting it to be weirder than it was.
Yeah, it's not really
Once
very
you
weird.
Get over the slightly weird premise, it's executed in a fairly conventional way. Yeah. But I found that a very enjoyable way, and you clearly...
No, I just found there's no subtlety in it at all. And everything is hammered
home. It's not trying to be subtle. Yeah. That is not a virtue that it wishes to have.
And I think... When I watch film, I don't really... If this was made as a remake, as an American blockbuster with whoever faceless American, and I would feel probably about the same towards it, that it's not really a film that I got much from it. And it is very long, even...
It whizzed by. I actually ended up having to watch it in two sittings, but that's only because I had to work. But it really did nip along, and for a 2-hour movie, it didn't feel like 2 hours because it's so action packed. And I'm not an action fan at all. I don't like guns and explosions, those kind of movies. And this has got guns and explosions.
Yeah, car
but
chase,
it also has
fly
a,
chase.
It also has a fly weightlifting. So
and dancing.
And also as well, I hadn't seen a lot of Indian cinema,
no,
almost any Indian cinema. So I was interested that it breaks a lot of rules of direction. It breaks a lot of cinematic rules. It breaks the 180 rule. So you end up, it's very disorientating to watch it. In the same way that like Indian music breaks a lot of Western music conventions, it feels like it's shot in a weird and different way.
It feels like that's not important to them. So like, you always know what you're supposed to be looking at on screen, yes, and it's not meant to look great. It's just informational, I felt, the framing of things.
But there is one moment that I really enjoyed, which when he's trapped inside the bubbles.
Yes.
Which is amazing. Like, if there'd been more of that and less of people.
Maybe you should watch just the 40 minutes they cut out, which I think is probably things you can do when you're a fly.
Yeah.
There's a lot of... I think there's more fly's eye view of stuff. Maybe they do the full 2 weeks it takes for a fly to reach maturity from the egg, which I saw some commenters complaining about. They're like, it's too quick when he becomes a fly again, blah, 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 because of lava, blah, blah, blah.
Bear in mind that if you're complaining about that, then you've got to surely complain about the fact that there's a human reincarnated as a fly. Although we've got...
And again, a woman who's into it.
We've got Iga up here on Google Images, and it looks like it says now in 3D. So maybe the stuff that got cut out was... A lot of 3D stuff of the fly flying. I mean, I bet it would be fantastic to watch in 3D.
I don't know, really.
It reminded me a bit of like a first-person shooter computer game.
Yeah, it felt like a computer game.
A lot of the fly's eye view. And that felt like the aesthetic as well. Like everything looks artificial, not just the CGI. The things that are real look like bad CGI.
I think the super saturation kind of puts it on that. It was like an MTV. It was like a music video gone nuts half
the
time.
She does have permanent Beyonce hair.
She has, and she also goes to sleep wearing a polo shirt and jeans.
Probably still got her trainers on as well.
Yeah, if you're thinking breaches of reality, how
is
about...
That not, is that the biggest sleeps? One? Is that yeah. not how...
I mean, it was just weird that... I mean, this, sorry.
It's
weird.
A bit like Ghost, isn't it?
It's weird in the... Yeah, it's a bit like Ghost, yeah. That's true, actually. It's weird in the way that guy was following her around for two years. Like
what a creep.
It's like, dude, just let it go.
But I think... Well, because she talks about when after he's dead, obviously, and she's very upset about it. She says, I teased him for 2 years. I think there's an element of kind of lovemaking, kind of foreplay almost between the two of them.
2 years?
For 2 years. Fair enough, you know, it's... I don't know. But that seems like they are both in on it. When he's there, you know, there's a bit where he uses a satellite dish with a bit of foil in it to allow her to work late at night by shining a light on her. And she sort of is delighted by that and then shuts the curtains. Like
I found their relationship in a very honourable way. Everything they do is very chased. Board.
Yes.
And that's what I loved about it. It was very sweet and charming. And him, you know, there's a few songs in it. There aren't that many. There's quite a lot of, which also is, I loved what's happening in the movie is explained by people singing it to you. But
that's
not
like a lot of musicals, isn't it?
But no, not by people in the film singing it to you, by the incidental music going, he is now in a car driving towards his love. You know, like, yeah. You know, like that. That's the which I think is brilliant. Like when when Yari is it, when Nani comes back, they're like, he is back.
Yeah.
Here he is. Life is back. And it's like, we know. We're watching the film as well.
Yeah. And he goes, I'm a fly. But there was some amazing lyrics, actually.
Is this the sort of lack of subtlety you didn't enjoy, Helen?
There was quite a long workout and dance sequence
montage,
by the fly.
Yeah.
And the lyrics were stuff like, I'm a fly, don't misjudge me. I'm the messenger of your death. I'm a fly. You cannot stop me. A single drop of poison can do its job. This is the universal matter before the Big Bang.
Soundtrack available on Arista Records.
And then there was one where
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah, watch out.
I'm a fly. And then there was one which was like, there are 10 things I must do. 1, I must kill you. 2, I must kill you.
Oh, I love that. That's like a Rammstein kind of song.
But that goofiness I really enjoyed. And in fact, the only bit of that sort of thing that I didn't enjoy was at the end. It ends with a disco song where it ends like a Minions type or like a Madagascar type thing where he just sings a song about what a brilliant fly he is. It's sort of setting it up like there'd be a sequel because he comes, you know, he's killed and he comes back from the dead, spoiler alert.
As another fly,
which doesn't seem fair. Is that how reincarnation works?
Is it on the karmic thing? Because it suggests that he's a pretty bad person if he's reincarnated as a fly.
That's true. I hadn't thought of that as a sort of morality deal, but he is the hero, isn't he? What's Sudeep going to be reincarnated as if the reasonably good, you know, romantic lead is?
Dog shit.
I thought that final scene where he's singing about fudged the rest of the film for me because he doesn't like it became the moment where he was like celebrating being a fly and celebrating himself when actually up to that point he'd been celebrating his love for Bindu and his revenge, you know, his desire to get revenge on Sudeep. So it felt like, oh no, you're not a goofy singing fly, you're a character with agency, not a character who loves themselves. And I thought that song, I was watching it going, oh, I was really disappointed you've ended your movie this way.
Oh, no.
Did that not chime with you?
I was disappointed at the end because it seemed to me that Bindu would reject any human suitor and always be in love with a fly. And I just thought that's a pretty miserable life.
That's too sad, isn't it?
Because,
but it's
like in Truly Madly Deeply, at the end, she's kind of released from being in love with dead Alan Rickman and she's moved on to the other, the living human, Michael Maloney. And so there's kind of a relief that she's you know, she's got over the previous relationship with someone she can't have anymore because he's dead.
Maybe.
Whereas this, disastrous. Like, is she going to fuck a fly?
Well, this is it. Maybe this 40 minutes they cut out was her constructing a tiny little harness with a enormous life-size strap-on on it. And he's like, I'm sorry, I've got very strong legs. You've seen the workout scene, but I can't lift this. I'm so sorry. Sorry, Helen. I'm now apologising for saying that as well.
Would you fuck a fly? If you were in love with him,
no,
man, yeah, there's the thing.
It is a sad story for her because she literally waits till the last minute. Well, she doesn't know it's the last minute, but she finally gives in and then
Sudeep murders him.
The moral
is text saying, but then her first text is "I love you."
Yeah,
bit keen as an opening gambit,
what,
isn't
after
it?
2 years.
2 years.
Yeah, but come on, I love you after, and like they've not had a kiss yet. Let's.
Yeah.
That's true, actually.
Yeah.
It's like Cher says, isn't it? The only way you know.
Doesn't it imply that some kind of marriage agreement has been arranged as well.
Yeah.
But
they've agreed sort of to marry.
I don't know. I don't know if we know the ins and outs of the arranged relationship status in this part of India based on this film. Is it a 2-year courtship and then turn into a fly?
I feel like he didn't know that it was a done deal. I felt like he was like, he thought she probably did like him and he had tremendous persistence, but I don't think he knew that at the end of 2 years he was going to cash in. And get to marry her for realsies.
I did actually quite enjoy it, although I wish that the CGI was just better because there was so much resting on the flies CGI aspects of it. I thought
that some of the flies' movements were quite good, but I assumed the aesthetic that they chose was deliberately.
Yeah, I thought
like
the CGI
that.
Was one of the least worst things about it. It kind of had a charm that worked.
Yeah,
within the context of it, and
it was
the fly eye bit, that was quite fun.
Fly eye bit.
Yeah,
I mean, when you see it from their point of view, the fly's point of view, Nanny the fly point of view.
It's a bit like watching a big 90s action film where they've just learned all those techniques, and
this
they're using
all
of them.
I mean, have you seen the most recent Star Wars film?
I haven't.
Well, they bring Grand Moff Tarkin, played by, I can't remember his name, but they bring him back to life in the CGI form, Peter Cushing. Mm-hmm. And they bring him back to life in CGI form. And they use it all the time in the film. But if they'd used it sparingly, it wouldn't have really been a problem.
Sure.
And I think here, because it was front and center.
Well, it's the main character.
I just got kind of tired of it. And when you see the early kind of CGI films like Jumanji and you see the CGI in those, you just kind of think, why did you do that at the time?
Yeah. Or in like the Star Wars 1-3, yes, where they've just got like a robot army where all of them are the same. Like there's no non-conformity that would make it look more real.
Yeah. Are you saying that you found it less believable because of the CGI?
I did, yes.
The CGI took you out of the experience.
It did. I was like, if that looked like a real blue bottle, then yeah, I'd be quite happy with it. Blue bottle with a mask.
Like, he's a designed character, isn't he? Rather than just looking like a fly.
I thought he acted much better than the entire cast. I mean,
you preferred him as a fly.
I think so. Yeah.
Well, that's it as well, because he doesn't like the guy who plays Nani
is a bit of an idiot, really.
He's very boy band, isn't he?
He doesn't have any dialogue.
Got no personality.
He doesn't have any dialogue once he becomes a fly either.
No.
So
he's got some songs that he expresses himself through.
Yeah. That's true.
Very
yeah.
bloodthirsty.
I'm a fly, I'm back.
Yeah, he doesn't have much to say, but then flies aren't renowned for their breadth of vocabulary and expression.
So he has to find a new way to sort of express his feelings and how he's going to do things without having to use song or words.
Yeah.
That's true.
So he crashes a car into the ditch and then uses the sand-laden windshield to write, I will kill you.
Yeah.
Although
it really freaks him out.
Yeah.
He's an ingenious fly. But what's that like, though, when you get a star in, like the guy who plays him, and you're like, you're the lead character in this film, but you are only in a quarter of it?
I imagine he was delighted.
Really?
Yeah. You show up for a quarter of the shoot, and then you go home and you still collect the fee. You're still in the film.
Yeah.
I'd like to see more films with Sudeep in, actually. I think.
Well, there are 70, so.
Well,
you
exactly.
Can.
Now I've found out. 69 to go. I thought he was a really good villain. I thought he was a really, like.
He played it to the hilt.
He was again cartoony and melodramatic, but I really, and he was
committed.
He was very funny and very charming with it, but I thought he was absolutely brilliant. I'd definitely watch you.
It was the best acting against a fly I had seen in a long time.
Yeah.
Do you think they did that thing where they wave a tennis ball in front of the actor and then
maybe they got like a fly on a stick or something?
Yeah. Whether they were just like, we'll put the fly in after. Just go where the inspiration takes you, Sudeep.
Exactly. Well, it's Sudeep, isn't it? Presumably, he just does what he likes.
Yeah, I've not seen his other films. Do you think he's a specialist at insect work? he plays one of the parents in an adaptation of Kafka's Metamorphoses.
Well, there is an aspect of, like, you know, if you want to go highbrow, there is an aspect of, there's a point in the movie where he's like, it doesn't matter that I'm never going to be a human again. In fact, that grieving process is pretty small. He's like, it doesn't matter that I'm not going to ever be a human. I'm going to get back together with this girl. I'm going to tell her I'm alive. I'm going to kill the guy who killed me. He sort of assimilates into being a fly in a surprisingly quick amount of time.
Yeah, well, you have to. The flies reach maturity so much faster than humans, so maybe their emotional maturity increases as well.
How long does a fly live?
Well, this one did pretty well to escape death so many times. I read a book once by David Garnett, who was a member of the Bloomsbury set. It was called Lady into Fox, and it's about a man whose wife turns into a fox. Can't remember why. I don't think she's murdered and reincarnated. And he tries to keep the marriage going for quite a while, but like she just becomes more and more fox-like, and so she's not into him because foxes aren't into being married to humans. So maybe that would have happened to him eventually. He would have been like, don't really care about the rice sculptor woman anymore.
There's a lovely pile of shit over there that I want to go and sit on.
Yeah.
But could they remake it? Like, would it be, is it too ridiculous a premise to get like a Hollywood
reworking? They remade it in other countries, I think.
Oh, did really?
I think they did, or they've managed to redub it in pretty much every language.
The dubbing wasn't a problem for me. I didn't notice it because I was focusing on the subtitles.
It is quite noticeable.
It is.
When I was trying to understand what was going on a bit, because something just kind of didn't sit right with me, and I didn't realise it was overdubbed from Tamil to Hindi.
Yeah.
So much so that the version, the Mackie version, was less successful than the version that you saw, Helen.
Rightly, because they haven't done the sound design work. They've done all that CGI work and neglected the sound. Like, you can't be convinced when the sound is obviously tacked on so arbitrarily.
Yeah.
That's why you thought the visuals were not realistic.
So we should have hunted out Ego rather than Mackie.
Well, I think
that's all we were presenting.
I don't know why Netflix gave us Mackie after it had already given us Eager.
Surely they
maybe it
had
thought
both.
We wouldn't notice the difference.
Yeah, well, it thought wrong, didn't it? Wasn't expecting this level of scrutiny.
Has it recommended? So you watched it a little while ago on Netflix. Has it recommended other films of that ilk, and have you entered into any of these?
I have not been recommended any other romantic comedy revenge dramas featuring insects, featuring a strong insect lead. No.
I meant more Indian films, not specifically the plot of.
No, it hasn't. And I don't know why it recommended this one, but I'm pleased it did.
I'm convinced they just have a wild card.
Yeah.
Just throw it in there and see what happens.
Yeah.
And you took the bait.
And then it goes back to recommending that documentary about Chipotle that I will never watch.
or maybe it's that your viewing habits are so erratic that Netflix was going, well, I don't know, this? And you're like, yeah, all right. Like, well, we still can't guess.
Maybe my viewing habits are just so predictable and they're like, well, we've run out of...
Episodes of RuPaul's Drag Race.
No, I never got into that. We've run out of things containing the cast members of Burning Love.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Even though there are lots of them and lots of them on Netflix.
True.
Mm.
I would like to watch more films like this, though. That's
so
what
more Indian films and...
More Indian films, more like big Indian melodramas.
This was a very successful film.
It was brilliant. And I imagine...
Sorry, Helen.
...going to see this in a cinema. You know, we'll get onto that in a bit. But I imagine going to see it in a cinema would have been a really exciting experience. It was like, I mean, I don't watch any action films, so this felt like a really action-packed action film.
This is what just people's real lives are like, Matthew. You're missing action.
Yeah, that's
just
it.
Because of your sheltered life.
In the Tamil region of India, this is just how it works. But I mean, how much do you guys watch foreign films anyway? Well, when I say foreign films, just films with subtitles.
Well, this is the problem, because I'm usually doing something else when I watch something. Either I'm writing or researching or I'm doing craft, so I can't have my eyes on the screen enough to watch the subtitle thing, so I have a lot stacked up that I want to watch,
yeah,
and I haven't.
I go to the pictures to watch those, because then you've got undivided attention. Like, I saw Tony Erdman over the weekend.
I saw Tony Erdman on Saturday. Did you watch it?
I did.
Picture House Central?
Yes, I did, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Go on. What performance?
It was like 12... No, it's like 1:30, something like that.
1:45?
Yeah.
No.
Oh. That's amazing. Oh, we're in the same cinema.
You could have been sat next to each other and you didn't know.
Pleasure.
Oh, the shaking hands. That's you done that on Saturday.
Isn't that weird?
Absolutely.
Like,
Simon Mayer was in the foyer.
Really?
Was he?
Yeah, I went up to him and said hello to Jason Isaacs. If you've never heard this podcast either.
No, I don't listen to that.
If you haven't
yours
heard
is the only film podcast.
You still know the Jason Isaacs thing. It will have seeped into your consciousness eventually. How did he take it?
He said, thank you very much. I'll let him know when I see him.
You need. Have you got a catchphrase for this show yet? We'll stick like that.
Go fuck yourself, Adam Sandler, I think it is.
Great.
But that's not PG.
Oh, okay. We'll have to think about one. Maybe to think about if you guys
go take
a
running jump, Adam Sandler.
Try harder, Adam Sandler.
Try harder. Okay.
Be more good.
Be more good.
Yeah. What did you think of Tony Erdman, by the way? I know we're not.
Loved it.
In no way similar.
Loved it. And for a 3-hour-long film, when someone
three
says
hours.
It's 2:42, it's not 3 hours.
So 2:42 film, which is a German comedy, that setup should be ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it was. I loved it. I saw 3 films that day. It was Moonlight, Tony Erdman, and 20th Century Women. And they're all fantastic films. So
I really want to see Moonlight. That looks fantastic.
Yeah, I'd like to see all 3 of those.
Yeah.
That's the problem now. You wait for ages for good stuff to come to the cinema, and then all the Oscar films come in and suddenly you're like, well, if I watch that day, and then maybe I'll go and see 2 films that day. And you get backed up, don't you?
Absolutely.
So or you make the wrong... Like, I watched Lion, and I didn't really... I thought it was... It was good.
Should I wait for a plane journey to see Lion?
Oh, totally.
I was told that I had no heart because I wasn't crying at the end of it. I really liked it, and there's a few things that really resonated with me in Lion. We'll get back to Mackie in a bit. Kids, just hold tight.
Sure.
have you seen Hidden Figures?
No, I want to watch that. I want to watch that and Fences before the Oscars.
I haven't seen Manchester by the Sea, which I've heard is...
I don't care. It's like...
I heard it's amazing.
But Hidden Figures, I had a really, really good watching it in a cinema experience with that. I think it's a great story that deserved a better film. Like, it's a bit of a conventionally made film. But I watched it in Oakland with a small but very, very attentive audience who are badly served by films. And this one has 3 black women in the leads doing very intellectual jobs. And all of that was very satisfactory. So every time there was like a bit of civil rights breakthrough, they'll be like, yep. And like clap politely or be
amazing.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is absolutely tremendous. Like the fact that they're like, well, finally.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And it was so great. And at the end, they just seemed beside themselves.
Well, my problem I had with Lion was that they say at the start, based on a book, The Long Journey Home. And you go, ah, so he gets home. Thanks for telling us the ending of the movie. I mean, I know it's based on a true story.
Yeah, but you know, when you go home on the night bus, Matthew, and you're hammered, you get home, but you don't necessarily know how you got there. Was it like that?
No, it was not like that. It's basically guy gets separated from his family.
Boy.
Very, very little. And an amazing performance from the kid. Boy gets separated from his family and then grows up for Google Earth to exist. And then he goes, and so the big climactic scene where he finds his family is him going, click, oh, click, oh, click, oh, there they are. And you go like, oh, come on, mate. And it's the problem of it being a true story. Which also, interestingly, Ego is also based on a true story. Just to bring it back to
I love that. A rich man goes mad thinking there's a fly.
Yeah. Billionaire. I don't know, what I'd like to say is bring it back to
subtitles in films.
Bindu,
yes.
Being,
yes,
well, oh, yeah. Subtitles in films. Well, do you watch subtitled films? And the answer is sometimes.
So watching subtitles in films doesn't bother me at all. But I've not watched many Indian films, like you said. When I was a kid, one of my best friends was Pakistani, so I used to see Bollywood films in the background. And I always just thought they were a bit random. But I think I'd like to watch more Indian-based films because I watch lots of South American films, lots of European films. And I don't know why, for people in the Western world, the Indian side of the world is kind of underserved.
Yeah. You're right. It doesn't really seem to ever kind of. It's very rarely. You wouldn't imagine Ego would be in like best foreign film at the Oscars. You know,
something like Monsoon Wedding.
That's what I've seen.
But then, like, Mira Nair was living in the States, I think, for a long time before she even made that. And then I remember there was a Bollywood film called Lagan that was like a pretty big hit in 2001. It's like, it's about cricket and it's nearly 4 hours long.
Yeah.
So I struggled with that. But all of those films, like, are really different to each other and to this film. So, like, we're probably missing a lot of good stuff.
Well, also, this is an exceptional film.
This is Helen.
It's a popcorn movie, isn't it? It's a movie that I imagine not the whole family, but, you know, you could imagine young people going to see this, but also families going to see it as well.
But actually, a family could watch this because, well, it's quite violent.
It's a bit violent. That's the only
it
thing.
Is violent, but it's stupid violent.
I don't know, like, no. a guy getting his windpipe crushed by a man's bare foot is not stupid violence.
I was thinking of the fly, like, making a car crash.
Well, I think what was interesting about that is that's very cartoony until you sort of see the real world consequences of, like, Sudeep getting a face full of glass where he's like plucking bits of glass out of his eye. You know, it was some really, or even just a bit like which you see coming a mile off where he puts a needle through Sudeep's foot.
Yeah,
it was horrible. It was like really, even
okay, not for all the family, yes. Just for like bloodthirsty members of the family.
It was very, it was
the
pretty,
bloodthirsty children.
It was pretty gory.
I could take much more gore when I was a child than when I was an adult. Because when I was an adult, I just understood the effects of harm and pain and death much more.
So just, Helen, did you find it, was it the cheesiness of it that it didn't?
I think so, yeah. I mean, the product placement in any film is kind of a big turn off for me.
Right.
And this was just trying to get you to buy flies.
Well, also, you know,
try to make you not take your bins out.
Yeah, I mean, they're a struggling NGO and yet they've all got MacBooks. It's kind of, you know, they need all these donations and yet they've got...
Maybe the Red Cross dropped them.
Yeah, from the air, things like that.
A food parcel with MacBooks in it.
I mean, I've nothing against films with animated insects. I was quite a big fan of the film Joe's Apartment.
Oh, the MTV movie? Yeah, about the cockroaches that sort of turn the lights on for him. And
They have like little sing and dances and, you know, they live in the apartment and... That kind of reminded me when there's the Rocky sequence with the fly with that. But it's just, I had no invested interest in the characters. I didn't really care how they ended up. I mean, the bad guy is pretty horrible, pretty revulsive. So, you know, I just didn't really care how he died. And there are limitations to what a fly can do in terms of inflicting pain and taking revenge.
But they really push those limits.
They do all of them, don't they?
I do quite like how, you know, he's obviously sent him mad to the point where he kind of ends up inflicting all the physical pain upon himself because of his madness. And that's quite clever. But it's just so heavy-handed in its acting and everything that it just didn't really interest me.
It was like a human cartoon, which I would sort of allow it to be heavy-handed. I mean, the CGI is very cartoon. Like, again, it did. Mm. It was an element of like B movie. You know, the Jerry Seinfeld thing when it's basically a B and a girl who fall in love without, you know, without any of the violence. But there is that weird thing of like, yeah, it's just very funny about the girl going, oh, you're a fly now.
I don't think.
Okay.
Yeah, I can roll with that. I don't think I at any point was emotionally invested in what happened to the characters. I think what I was invested in was just what the fuck is happening with this film? Yeah. What is going on in the mind of whoever conceived this, like, fever madness? So I think if I'd gone in expecting to care about what happened, then I may have been as disappointed as you. But on that score of just seeing, like, some absolutely batshit stuff being on foot. Because I think it was just like one of the guys who made it just like said a joke to someone one day, like, oh, what if you were murdered and reincarnated as a fly? And then they just like ended up making that a couple of years later.
I think there's a father son project. Yeah, I'm not sure which way around, but.
Yeah, I think the son directed it and the father wrote it. Interesting family.
Yeah.
But usually films that I watch, I would want it to be character led and emotions led. But this, it was just purely. Spectacle and derangement.
What the fuck?
Yeah, yeah, it was led by the what the fuck.
I love the way that she did, once she realized he was a fly and got quickly over the fact that he was a fly, and then she used her micro art skills to make a gas mask for him.
Yeah.
And also like claws, which she used to dig into.
That was amazing. She made like tiny little razor blade claws, yeah, for him to go and slash up Sadiq's face.
And yeah, do tap dance.
And also do the tap dance as well, yeah. Yeah, that was. I thought that was brilliant. It was really, really fun and really inventive. And it was a bit kids' movie, but I like it when sort of.
It was, I think it's weird the tonality change, wasn't it? Because there's things that she's making these little. She's almost like Q from James Bond.
Yes.
Making little gadgets for Nanny the Fly. But then at the same time, the fly's making him crash a car, and it's kind of a weird duality at the time, wasn't it?
Yeah. I guess.
Of technology and then just pure physical flyness.
Yeah.
Right.
I think another thing that I kind of got a bit tired with is that it does try and bit to be too many different kind of genres. It does tie in, it's kind of a little bit science fiction-y, you know, with the fly element. It's obviously got the romanticness about it. It's also got kind of the thriller, you know, killer aspect to it, you know, the revenge hunt thing. Revenge coming down, and then
some weird spiritual elements.
Yeah, the voodoo thing that goes on there.
And oh yeah, the talisman who shows up for a bit. I forgot about
it. Yeah, well, there's reincarnation first, and then second, like Sudeep has this fortune teller person, and they meet in a weird, creepy cops.
Yeah.
So it didn't really have an identity.
Didn't have any consistency.
And say, you know, I want to be this.
But I quite like, I mean, again...
Smorgasbord.
Yeah, it's like, we're going to do a song and dance number, and then 5 minutes later, you're going to see someone brutally murdered. I think that's going to be quite fun about the constant shifts in tone.
But if you look at it, you know, when you see restaurants that have like an extensive list of 100 dishes.
You're doing the Gordon Ramsay Kitchen Nightmares thing of pick one thing, do it very well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if you're trying to have that much in it, that ultimately...
If your sausage and mash is good, your Thai fish cakes are not going to be good.
If your fish and chip shop also does fried chicken and kebabs, it's not going to be, none of those things are going to be well done, sure.
So some things I kind of got along with, but then others, I didn't think it just had, it had too much going on to fully flesh out one of the ideas that it could have done with a bit more depth or...
I just don't think it was trying to, and I don't think, I think maybe trying to eke that kind of nuances from it is... It's a full bearing in
like
a way.
Picked one or two or something.
You can't apply your preconceived notions to this film, Helen.
I think that's it. It's like, you shouldn't think too hard because they haven't thought too hard.
Well, I stopped thinking about it after half an hour anyway, so...
Did you watch the whole thing?
Did you stick it out?
I did.
The only reason I did that is because we kind of have to commit to it. I wouldn't have bothered otherwise.
I think we can guess your scores for quite a lot of these.
It's not going to be great.
Should we move on to... Is there anything else you guys want to say before we move on to the scoring section?
I want to say, don't go into this expecting a consistent film just...
Or highbrow.
Just go into it expecting a romantic comedy revenge drama starring a fly and just watch that play out.
And don't watch the final song.
You can get out before the final
get
song.
Get out before the final song.
Unless you like that kind of thing.
I feel like it. You know, for me saying don't think too much about the characters, I think it fudged the character's motivation. He's not a narcissistic fly.
Well, but he'd just been reincarnated as another fly, so maybe the second fly was a bit
the
more
second
of a
fly's
jerk.
A dickhead.
Yeah.
That's the sequel.
Yeah.
Eager too, yeah. The dickhead.
He's just like very entitled.
In the American remake, Adam Sandler's going to be the fly.
I love that. Absolutely.
I don't think it would be. I think it would be Zac Efron. I think Adam Sandler could be the Sudeep character.
Yeah. He could be, actually. Adam Sandler is a baddie. I like that.
Doing a lot of physical acting.
Yeah, he'd be great.
And Jack, in the American remake of Tony Erdman, Jack Nicholson is going to be in it, isn't he? And yeah. I can't remember who the woman is going to be.
Kristen Wiig.
Oh, good.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting, because it is Tony Erdman is a comedy, but it's not really a comedy. Like, he is a comedic... He is a character who likes making jokes, but it's actually a very sad story about...
Trying to reconnect with a daughter.
A father-daughter relationship that's sort of failing on several levels. And about how to live life, basically. Is there a correct way to live? But Kristen Wiig, I always think of being... She's a good actor. But even like her serious movies, like she did that Welcome... What was it called? Welcome to Me? Did you see that one where she was like played as a sort of mentally handicapped person who got given her own TV channel?
Okay.
It was meant to be quite a sort of serious film, but because it's Kristen Wiig, it's quite hard to watch her being anything other than goofy, serious, you know?
And the female character, the daughter character in Tony Erdman, doesn't crack any jokes.
No.
So... It'll be interesting. But
and probably it will be less than 3 hours long when the Americans make it.
Well, it depends if Judd Apatow's making it.
He'll add a couple more hours on just to be like more benevolent towards the characters, whether they deserve it or not.
Just because Paul Rudd will do some really amazing improv that he has to leave in.
Keep it in.
Makes no sense.
Nice guy improv.
Guys, can you hear that crunching? That means it's popcorn time. And we'd love to say thank you for providing popcorn for the show and for you guys here at Flixwater Podcast. This is popcorn from the Popcorn Shed. Tell us a bit about Popcorn Shed, Helen.
Popcorn Shed makes popcorn from secret family recipes, although the ingredients are on the back, so you can see what the ingredients are. But it's suitable for vegetarians and gluten-free, which is always an excellent thing.
Yeah, but that makes it sound like it's untasty, which is the opposite of what it is. It's super tasty. Hold on, I'm gonna try some.
Oh. Very, very, very delicious. This is salted caramel that we're enjoying.
It is salty, and it's caramelly, and it's tasty. Sam and Laura make the popcorn in their own big pans in a shed, and that's why it's called Popcorn Shed. Go and visit them, guys, at popcornshed.com. You can find out where to get it because it's so tasty, you need to try it.
Mmm.
So we're going to go to the scoring system. Helen.
Right.
Helen Zed.
Oh, now I feel like I have to upscore a bit to counteract all the Helen scores.
Well, it's interesting because recommendability, I would have gone, yeah, everyone's going to love this. And clearly that's not true.
Well,
Before we go into the scoring, in terms of the Illusionist podcast, what do you make of the word recommendability? This has been a bone of contention.
Yeah, it works. Like, I know what you mean by it. So
also, you've written recommendability.
Yeah, so I...
Recommendability.
I wrote recommendability, but you didn't need to draw attention to what
I mean, you literally pointed it out. I noticed. What do you make of this word? And I said, well, it's not the word you're saying.
I noticed, and I was too polite to mention it, Matthew.
I noticed it as well at the start of the day, but it's only now that Kobe said, what do you make of that word? I went, well, let's... I can read.
Are you going to tell him that you also don't go by the name Matt?
Matthew, sorry. I'm fine with Matt.
You're just used to it now.
I've chilled out in old age.
It used to really make him rage.
It used to really bother me, but life's too short.
his youthful pith and vinegar is really simmered down. I'm going to go 4.5 because I think most people won't have seen a film starring a fly that does workout sequences. I have recommended it to pretty much everybody. When I was still watching it the first time, I was tweeting about it going, somebody please watch this with me.
Yeah, because the reason that you picked this is because you saw it, you and your husband.
Yes.
And you're like,
also loved
I need to talk about this film. And hopefully we're...
Sorry, Helen. I'm sorry, do you feel as though everything needs to come out? Oh, yeah.
Full catharsis.
Has this been therapy for you?
I just needed to share.
Did you have PTSD from watching Eager? You wanted to deal with it in group therapy.
I have PTSD from carrying all of my stuff up and down four flights of stairs.
But, that's part of it as well. I don't know. I think I know why you're saying that. It's like you'd recommend it to go, right? We both saw that, right? That definitely happened.
Yeah, I honestly did think I was hallucinating for most of it because I was like, this has been a really weird day anyway, but it was real.
Have you befriended any flies since you've seen it?
No, I still...
Have you been kinder to flies?
Well, I don't think any of the flies are reincarnated loved ones of mine, so I'm like, I'm happy to stay out of their way. But if they're going to start writing stuff in my tears, I'm going to be like, leave me alone.
The flip of this movie would be that a woman is kind to a fly and he gets reincarnated as a sexy singing man.
That's the Princess and the Frog, isn't it?
Yes!
It really pretty much is, yeah, yeah.
Princess
yeah.
and the Fly.
What was your rating for recommendability?
4.5. It's on the spreadsheet.
Recommendability.
Recommendability. Yeah. I'm going to go for 4, I think, because as Helen's proved, it's not for everybody. But did you not feel like... Were you not kind of delighted to have seen it?
Well, let's hear Helen's score.
Doesn't look delighted.
I mean, it's not that weird. It in sort of films that I've seen, it's not that weird.
I think the execution rather than the premise is what makes it. The sort of weird glossiness. The
multiple personalities that you pointed out where you're just like, what does it want to be?
The sung stage directions, all of that. For me,
that's like Greek chorus, though, Matthew.
It is
like a 2,000-year-old device.
It is, but you don't see it very often in modern cinema, and that's what I liked about it. I mean, who knows? This could be a very, very conventional piece of Indian cinema, but I'm so out of the loop with that genre. With I don't know.
I mean, you know, I went in it the same as everyone, you know, knowing the concept. So the concept of it wasn't sort of unfamiliar or anything, but I was slightly irritated that it had taken up 2 hours. Had it been a lot shorter,
sure,
I feel I would be less aggrieved about
glad
it.
Glad you didn't watch the full version, yeah. the two hours 40.
But I think it depends
fleshed
what
out
you
the characters then.
Yeah, I mean, it depends what you get out and your personal viewing pleasure with films. It's not something that I would seek out, and I have watched, you know, fairly weird, stupid films before, which I know are stupid and quite happily go with them. And we've discussed before, you know, I quite enjoy things like Armageddon, which I know are terrible. And the special effects now for that would be pretty awful at the time. They're pretty awful then. And
Bruce Willis is not even real in that. He refused to turn up.
So it's not that all I watch is art cinema and, you know, international films with like 5 sentences in. I am prepared to watch that. But I just thought, probably, you know, the bad dubbing didn't help with that, to sort of give it, even though it's got a very shiny look about it, having that in there made it feel a little bit cheaper. So maybe that didn't help towards it. And I just felt that it just went on and on and on a little bit and kind of pushed it a little bit further than it could have done it a little bit quicker. I don't know who...
Skipped to the end.
Yeah, I would quite like to have had... less of the start,
yes,
and more of the, you know,
sex with flies.
Yeah, because the start bit went on for a long time and it's like, well, when's he going to be the fly?
But you know, I think it has to establish the 2-year long relationship thing with the...
But it doesn't really.
If you started with the song of him going, I'm going on a date with a girl,
yeah,
been 2 years and he dances down.
The 2-year thing is irrelevant, really.
Yeah.
Well, they could have just been... They could just have been in a relationship for a long time. That's where the start point could have been.
It's a story within a story, which means you can start it as late as possible. You don't have to ease your way in there.
No. Yeah.
So yeah, maybe if I'd missed the first bit and then it had just been the flies reborn.
Yeah.
Dances in the bubbles, which I really liked, and then kills him. That would have been a more enjoyable experience. But
so how does that rank in the recommendability score?
I mean, I've been pretty harsh on a lot of films before, and I don't really know. I don't know who I know who would enjoy this.
Reevaluate your friends.
You've got 3 people around the table here who had a great old time.
So you don't need convincing.
No, you're right. You're right.
They liked it out there.
Yeah, the round of applause is for the film. Okay, I'll be less harsh. I'm going to give it 2 then, because you obviously...
All right.
That's not... Yeah, that's all right.
I mean, if there are better films to see about people who get turned into flies.
The Fly?
Yeah.
There's one better film. That's different, though.
The Fly is fantastic.
The reason for him getting turned into a fly in The Fly is different. Yeah. But then I think Goldblum and Sudeep are, I think, quite similar in lovable villainness.
I wasn't really convinced by his villain. I just didn't like... Just, I don't know. He was just too much of a pantomime villain. I think he could have done with being a little bit edgier.
Do you think it would have been more interesting if he hadn't been a billionaire conventional villain before he was a murderer?
Yeah, he's completely, from the moment he's on screen, you're like, oh, I hate him. He's horrible. Yeah. But then we're going back to the depth of character, which doesn't exist.
Not
in
really
here.
A problem. Yeah, it's interesting because the reason he wants to get with Bindu is because she's the only girl who's turned him down, which isn't really enough of a reason to murder somebody.
Yeah, murders more than one person.
Yeah. I mean, basically, yeah, he goes on a spree.
So I think actually it is madness. Maybe all of it is just like the furniture of his madness.
Yeah, that's true. Mm. Maybe this runs deeper than we realised.
I need to go back and reevaluate it on that.
I reckon I'm going to give it a 3. I think I didn't know what to expect when you suggested the film. I thought it sounded a bit insane, but then a lot of Hollywood films are equally insane. And it's kind of fun. When it comes to things like repeat viewing score, I'm not sure I'll watch it again.
I mean, you briefly said you drew a comparison with Ant-Man.
No, I didn't. In terms of the premise of how ridiculous it is.
But the thing is with that is that it's in the Marvel universe, so it's not ridiculous because you're already in that universe.
But that's why I was trying to take a step back. So if I took someone to see Ant-Man for the first time and they didn't know anything about Marvel, or if I asked someone to watch The Incredible Hulk without knowing anything about it, they'd go, okay, so man gets angry, turns into bigger green man. Right. Okay.
Yeah, which is why I think I'm not into the Marvel stuff, because I feel like they don't stand on their own anymore.
Right.
Some of the earlier ones, I think, did.
So that was my point about trying to...
I mean, I like the concept that if someone is killed and reincarnated as a fly to carry out the revenge, I just don't think it was executed, and I thought it was a bit heavy-handed, and I don't know, it just...
You're right that you can summarise this film in a sentence. Murdered man is reincarnated by a fly to take his revenge. And it doesn't go further than that. It just demonstrates that. If they make the American version with Paul Rudd playing the fly, on board?
Him as Nanny? Possibly.
It's a slightly different characterization.
Could we only have the songs that the fly sings? So the only songs exist, like the fly singing them and no one else can hear them. So we take away that element. So any songs are sung by the fly.
Well, I'm a fly, kill, 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 yeah. Kill, 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 kill.
That song was all right. That was a good song. And when he was doing the workout, was he singing then?
He
was working out. There were certainly some vocals on the music, whether or not they were coming from him.
A lot of people listen to motivating music while working out, so you could consider it.
I now listen to the soundtrack to Eager when I'm working out.
I will kill you, I will kill you.
I've got 10 things I need to do today.
Kill, kill, kill.
Shopping.
Repeat viewing score.
Well, I have seen it twice, and I think I could watch it once again, but it would be with people that I wanted to see it with, whether it was their first time. I don't think I would watch it every year for the rest of my life. I think over the rest of my life, I could watch it 2 more times with years between them. So I would say 3.
I think it's quite high for that description there.
Yeah.
I don't recommend films very often. Sure, I was recommending the shit out of this film.
Yeah, I think repeat viewing, to be honest, I probably won't be watching it again.
I bet the Crosby family would enjoy it.
I think they probably would, actually, yeah. So maybe I might pop it on at Christmas time. Get, you know.
Give them some ideas.
Guys, do you want to watch Only Fools and Horses, Back to the Future, or Eager? That's a wild, well, that's a wild card.
Yeah, they've seen the other ones, so why not? Let's try something new for Christmas. So I'm going to say probably 2, but it has piqued my interest to watch other films, certainly other films with Sadiq in.
Of which there are 70.
Of which there are 70. So I'm, you know, I've got my work cut out. It's like when someone recommends you a drama and they go, yeah, it's on series 7, but it, you know, it really gets going around series 4, and you go, forget it, I'm not watching any of that.
Could you get him on Flatshare Slamdown?
Sadiq?
Yeah.
When he's next in town? Sure.
Oh, I'll put a call out to his agent.
Presumably he's at Sadiq at Twitter. If he hasn't got that, he's really missed a trick.
There seems to be a lot of Indian film stars who are mononymous.
Because
like there's him and Nanny, the other male star of, well, the guy who plays the fly, so he's hardly in it.
Yeah, whereas the female lead has 3 names. That's how obscure she is. But what's the logic of that? They're so famous. They only have one name.
Quite easy to remember as well.
Sudeep.
True.
Yeah.
You never forget Madonna, do you?
Never forget Madonna. Never forget Pele. Prince.
Cher.
Cher. Exactly.
Adele.
Adele.
The system works. Surnames are Beyonce. She doesn't need Knowles.
Yeah. No.
Sorry, Helen.
Helen, your repeat viewing score.
That's zero.
Oh, sorry.
It seems fair enough. If you didn't enjoy it, we can't force you.
I'm going to go for one. There might be a time I'll watch it again, but I can't think of when it will be. But it's not outside of the realms of reality.
It's going to have to do really well on the small screen score if it wants to.
Well, I think small screens are difficult to see subtitles. So I think you probably want to... I think laptop would be as small as you want, but I watched it on the TV. Because also... a lot of it stars a fly, and that is a small thing in a large frame. So you don't want to be watching it on a phone because you'll be like, "What? Where is it? What is actually the main character doing?" But as I said earlier, it's not shot in a way that means you have to watch it in a forum that lets you appreciate the exquisiteness of the framing and the special effects.
So what do you give that then? That's a good explanation of what you're leading up to.
So how well does it work? I find this a difficult one to judge because I'm not really sure what is good out of this, like whether it being on a big screen is good or whether it transferring to a small screen is good. Like what is supposed to be a good score?
Because we're kind of ranking it within the context of Netflix where you're going to watch things on a small screen. So does it work better on Netflix or would you prefer to watch it in the cinema? So if you prefer to watch it in the cinema, then this tends to be a lower small screen score.
I think this is a living room film.
Okay.
So I'm going to give it a... 2? Is that an appropriate ranking? Well,
I'd probably say a little bit higher.
A little bit higher if you think it's not worth going to the cinema to watch it and you think it works well. Yeah.
I think it's better to watch it in company.
Okay.
It's definitely a film to watch in company and you will go, "Whoa, that's ridiculous." Okay, so all right then. All right, 2.6.
I'm now more confused about how this scoring works.
Just pick a number.
I watched it on increasingly smaller screens. I started by Chromecasting it onto my telly. And then I watched a bit more of it on my laptop. And then I had to leave for work. So I watched it walking to the station on my phone. and then eventually I projected it onto the back of a postage stamp. And that's when it really came into its own. So it works pretty much.
Did it make you feel like a fly watching
TV? Yeah,
basically. I felt like I was
everything would be huge when you're a fly, right? So watching it on a postage stamp would be a big screen.
Yeah, turning back into Nanny. I thought it was... Yeah, I think it was... You didn't need to be in a cinema to watch it. I think this has got, yeah. I find it so engaging that watching on a laptop was great. I say like, I don't know, 4.2? Let's say 4.2.
Yeah, 4.2.
Let's go for 4.2. What are you going for, Kobe?
It's Helen's doing this.
It's me.
I'm sorry, Helen.
This is the one area which I'm going to score it reasonably high. I mean, it does work. I wouldn't watch it anything smaller than a laptop because the subtitles and everything in will be a bit squished. You know, normal TV size, so 3.
3? Yeah, I'll give it a 3 as well. I think just the CGI lets down a bit for me.
You're really hung up on that CGI.
I really don't think it's not that bad.
Is bad CGI better on a big screen where you can see it more clearly or on a small screen where the effect is slightly muted by the shrinkage?
The second one.
Okay.
So, yeah, maybe a bit more. Maybe 3.5. Because I think, yeah, that's where it works is on the small screen. Yeah, I think it looks terrible on the big screen.
Is there a score for guilt you feel at making Helen spend 2 hours of her life on this? Because I feel like...
that's off the scale,
feel,
isn't it? It's
a
10,
high 4 about that.
There's been worse films, honestly.
Oh, I know. I know there are worse films, but I still don't feel good about, you know, being responsible for somebody losing that amount of time.
It's happened alarmingly frequently.
Sorry.
It's happening to me frequently that you've not enjoyed it and everyone else has, or
it's normally if someone's against it, then it's probably going to be me, isn't it? I think
there's been some films we watch where there's been people taken against films.
I wouldn't take it personally, at all.
No, I mean, I don't. I just feel bad at this
turn of events. Yeah,
this use of your life.
It's okay.
Okay, good. Okay, thank you for forgiving me.
It could have been worse. We could have watched The Cobbler.
Yeah, I think had that... if it had been the double...
Because I wanted to recommend The Cobbler. If it had been The Cobbler and Eager, would you have showed up today? Would you have... or would we?
I don't know, because it would have been... I don't know. I think maybe one of the films I wouldn't have got to the end. Well, you never know. I might like...
Would you have descended into a Sadeep-style madness? You'd just be in your...
tormented.
In your flashing, you know, thrashing around for this
could
imaginary
happen to
flight.
Any of us.
It could happen.
The film that I wanted to recommend to us, but Netflix had taken it away, was Teen Witch. which I hadn't seen since we used to rent it from the video shop.
It's like
in
a teenage
the
80s. Sandwich.
No. No, Matthew. Very different video rental.
Someone who works, he works at a Subway.
So the engagement score, since you asked how difficult would it be if you turn off the film once you started watching it, going on the first time I watched this, 10 out of 10.
So 5 out of 5.
Sorry, yeah, forgot about that. But in subsequent, like this time, like I really think this is a single viewing, having already given it my repeat viewing score, but that was specific to showing other people the film, despite what I said about feeling guilty about showing Helen the film. I think this is like, you can get everything out of a single viewing and never go back, just relish the memory.
So just make sure you're fully engaged whilst you're watching it that one time.
Yeah, make sure you're so tired you can't move, as I was, and this is the film for that time.
It's a great film for when you're at your lowest ebb.
Yeah, yes!
Basically,
yes.
That's what it is.
Helen, you're not alone. Your
what, we've, what we've proved is that Helen is
living the good life.
You're living the good life. You're living high on the hog.
And that's your problem.
Matthew.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a proper stupid romp. It really made me chuckle. And I loved, again, like I thought the characters were all really engaging, and it was really, I enjoyed it a lot. So I'm going to go with a 4.8.
Craggy.
So it's going to do okay-ish on the overall score, just because of Helen and I enjoying it so much. What I love is the higher our scores, the lower our estimation in Helen's mind is. That's
we've really
botched it, haven't we?
No, I mean, this is the reason why we're doing the podcast, and this is also the reason why we're not choosing the films, because if that was the case, then I would pick films that I know that I would like, and I would enjoy every time, rather than, you know, picking something that I haven't seen or looking at it and going, oh, it's only got one star. You know, I'm not going to watch that. I'm not going to waste my time on that. So this is the reason why we're here. And, you know, this is a film that probably people have skipped over.
This was a critical success, this film.
It was. There wasn't everyone who, I did go through some reviews. There wasn't everyone who did love it. But, you know, it was a massive blockbuster. It had very, very favourable reviews, and I guess it's brought different genres to, you know, to a Bollywood, or what is it, Tollywood, that had not been investigated before. Kind of hope they don't do any more like this. Who knows?
Despite of all these people getting so much pleasure out of this movie, you don't want them to make any more of them. If you found out Eager 2 was coming out, would you be devastated?
No.
But you'd avoid it like the plague.
He's turned into a caterpillar.
I mean, we've had other films on here that are films that are made for the sake of sort of being stupid and being ridiculous. And I'm not into that. It's not my kind of film. And
what other films do you... Like, give us an example of a film that you think is sort of made for sake of being stupid.
Well, the Sharknado films, as an example.
Yeah, it does. It did feel a little bit like a kind of exploitation movie. It's sort of got that sort of vibe to it, Eager.
Sort of sensationalism.
Yeah, just like, let's be brash and big and dumb.
And they achieved that.
But they did it. They nailed it.
I mean, I'm glad that you enjoyed it, all of you. It's great. And it's also nice
God,
to...
the guilt score's just like shooting up and up.
And it's nice to hear why you enjoyed it, but, you know, it does come down to personal tastes and preferences.
I can't wait to hear this score.
So engagement.
I don't want to be that mean.
Too late.
Be truthful.
Too late, mate.
It's not mean to just.
It's not mean to
express how you feel numerically.
Not mean to give your opinion.
One.
Well, depending on the opinion.
Yeah.
I'm going to give this actually quite low, a 2. I was.
I am getting the Wikipedia out.
I was doing the
Wikipedia's
IMDb, trying to understand what was kind of going on, why this was made.
Well, and that is a question. Just don't even ask it.
That's true.
Don't ask why.
And especially because it has got subtitles, and I have no idea what the language is. Mm. Then doing that at the same time is kind of half looking at Wikipedia, half looking at IMDb, half looking at the film in some points. So that kind of indicates that I wasn't fully switched onto it at some points. But generally, I don't think you needed to be, really.
The film took you out of it just by being...
itself.
Itself, yeah, yeah, yeah. Fair enough.
So I say 2 overall. 2 for engagement score.
Yeah, and so I kind of missed a few bits. Like, I missed the entire bit where she makes him some shoes. I must have been
checking
my emails.
You think
they're
the movie The Cobbler? No, sorry.
Yeah, so I kind of...
See, so it does demand 5 out of 5 engagement.
It doesn't at all, but I was very engaged.
So I think that gives us overall a 2.9, which is
that's strong. Good.
Yeah. That's all right. Yeah, that's all right.
That's all right.
What does it score on Netflix?
It's like 4 at the moment.
Wow.
Isn't Netflix
is
though
that
based
just
on
because you've
our...
all rated it for recently?
Isn't Netflix slightly based on our
and what it thinks you'll
our
score
algorithm
it
as well? Yeah.
It's very weird because we've reviewed films before when before we'd all watched them, they'd be sort of 1 stars. And then next time we'd log back in,
I
they'd
think,
completely change.
I think what's happened is when it was Eager, it was a lower score. But then when it changed to Mackie, the version that we all saw, then
people
it's
loved
kind
it
of reset and started again.
Do you think there were just more people that speak Hindi? So Netflix thought, well, this
I
version will get more
I
play.
That's exactly
right.
It. Yeah. In the UK anyway.
Yeah. Artistically, wrong decision.
How much does it cost for Netflix to put them both up?
Good point.
Come
and
on,
then it's
Netflix.
It's splitting the viewership.
Yeah.
Doesn't really matter, though,
listen
does it?
Both.
It's good.
Probably wouldn't watch both versions.
I'm going
he
to.
He said, I have. And there are all these other versions that I think I probably won't. I'm not that much of a completist.
I want to find that missing 40 minutes now. That's what are you doing on Saturday? Do you want to troll the internet and watch the 40 minutes we didn't see?
Slightly.
Of course. Let's do it.
Let's cut it there. That's, so we finished on 2.9, guys, for Eager stroke Mackie stroke the other Indian language names for fly.
Yep.
I House Fly. Wasn't that one of the titles it translated as? I House Fly.
I,
House,
oh. I think.
I look forward to the stage adaptation.
Yeah, all performing within proscenium arch.
Oh, it's going to be tremendous.
Oh, beautiful.
You've got to watch it through a sieve.
That'd be quite good, actually. You get the fly goggles.
Fly vision. Yeah.
Yeah.
When I watched the, when we watched Lego Batman, and the kids with a Batman mask. So I could use that, couldn't
I? That's cute.
Yeah, it was.
Fly eyes.
Yeah.
I found
flies
one of those.
Flies would be the portmanteau.
I found one of those when I was, one of the Batman masks when I was drunk on a train. Wore it all the way home. Loved it. Great.
Just climbed into bed.
Just,
I love.
I like the way you do the gravelly voice, but still northern. I love. I'm Batman.
On that bombshell. Helen and Matthew, can you sign off and let us know where we can find you on across the tinternets?
Well, until I am reincarnated as a fly, you can find me making The Allusionist and Answer Me This podcast. So search for those. The Allusionist with an A, not an I.
I make podcasts with my sketch team, Pappies, and they are called Pappies Bangers and Mash and Pappies Flatshare Slamdown, and they're available from iTunes or the British Comedy Guide or wherever you get podcasts.
Super. Well, thank you for bringing Eager into our lives.
Don't lie. Don't end on a lie, Helen. Don't end on a bad song like Eager did.
Well, cheers, guys.
Cut just before the cheesy song, then.
It's good. It's good chat, anyway. Well, yeah.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, cheers.
Thanks for coming on. Cheers.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, guys. And that was Eager or Mackie, depending on what Indian language you know best, as chosen by Helen Zaltzman of Allusionist and Answer Me This, and also co-guested, I should say, by Matthew Crosby from all of the Pappies channels. So really hope you enjoyed the show and the choice that they chose. It's a bit crazy, but hope you went with it. Please don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes. And of course, we want to big up Tony and Jay and also Greg, our editors from GL Productions. Of course, please big up Mighty People for the tunes you can hear now. And at the start of the podcast, find us on Twitter at FlixWatcherPod and visit our website, flixwatcher.tv. Catch you later. Hope you enjoy the show.